Jesus, Heiland meiner Seele, lass an deine Brust mich fliehen, da die Wasser näher rauschen und die Wetter hauert sehen. Oh, wie gut ist dir Vertrauen, Jesus, dir ergebe ich mich. Selig droben dich zu schauen, dein zu bleiben ewiglich. Berg mich in den Lebensstürmen, bis vollendet ist mein Lauf. Wehre mich zum sicheren Hafen, nimm dann meine Seele auf. Oh, wie gut ist dir Vertrauen, Jesus, dir ergebe ich mich. Selig droben dich zu schauen, dein zu bleiben ewiglich. Andere Zuflucht hab ich keine, sagen hab ich nur auf dich. Lass, oh, lass mich nicht alleine, hebe her und stärke mich. Oh, wie gut ist dir Vertrauen, Jesu, dir ergebe ich mich. Selig droben dich zu schauen, dein zu bleiben ewiglich. Nur zu dir steht mein Vertrauen, dass kein Übel mich erschreckt. Mit dem Schatten deiner Fliege sei mein wehrlos Haupt bedeckt. Oh, wie gut ist dir Vertrauen, Jesu, dir ergebe ich mich. Selig droben dich zu schauen, dein zu bleiben ewiglich. Gnade um Gnade, voller Sehnung, sind in dir, o Jesu mein. Lass die Heilung mich bestreben, nimm gereine mich herein. Oh, wie gut ist dir Vertrauen, Jesu, dir ergebe ich mich. Selig droben dich zu schauen, dein zu bleiben ewiglich. Du bist ja des Lebens Quelle, die den Durst auf ewig still. Sei der Born in meinem Herzen, der zum ewigen Leben quill. Oh, wie gut ist dir Vertrauen, Jesu, dir ergebe ich mich. Selig droben dich zu schauen, dein zu bleiben ewiglich. We read of a place that's called heaven. It's made for the pure and the free. This truth in God's word he had given. How beautiful heaven must be. How beautiful heaven must be. Sweet home of the happy and free, fair haven of rest for the weary. How beautiful heaven must be. In heaven a drooping, a paining, no wishing for elsewhere to be. God's light is forever there shining. how beautiful heaven must be. How beautiful heaven must be. Sweet home of the happy and free. Fair haven of rest for the weary. How beautiful heaven must be. Pure waters of life there are flowing. And all who will drink may be free. Rare jewels of splendor are glowing. How beautiful heaven must be. How beautiful heaven must be. Sweet home of the happy and free. Fair haven of rest for the weary. How beautiful heaven must be. The angels so sweetly are singing out there on the beautiful sea. Sweet chords from their gold harps are ringing. How beautiful heaven must be. How beautiful heaven must be. Sweet home of the happy and free. Fair haven of rest for the weary. How beautiful heaven must be. The family is preparing far away. All have been invited to attend. The bride is standing ready, waiting for the signal. When the groom says, "Rise, my children, come on in." Is that wedding music that I hear? The bride's adorned and ready to appear. There's heavenly preparation for a wedding celebration. Is that waiting music that I hear? Soon will rise to lead this land of sorrow. For that ceremony in the air, the third hand will lay down to the whole land of splendor. Have you made your preparation to go there? Is that wedding music that I hear? The bride adorned and ready to appear. There's heavenly preparation for a wedding celebration. Is that waiting music that I hear? Soon will rise to lead this land of sorrow. For that ceremony in the air, the third hand will lay down to the whole land of splendor. Have you made your preparation to go there? Is that wedding music that I hear? The bride's adorned and ready to appear. It's heavenly preparation for a wedding celebration. It's that waiting music that I hear. I dreamt of a city called Glory, so me there. They carried me from mansion to mansion, and all the signs I saw. But I said I want to see Jesus, the one who died for all. Then I bowed on my knees and cried, Holy, holy, holy. I clapped my hands and sang glory, glory to the Son of God. I bowed on my knees and cried, Holy, holy, holy. I clapped my hands and sang glory, glory to the Son of God. As I entered the gates of that city, my loved ones knew me well. They took me down the streets of heaven. The saints were too many to take. I saw Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, talk with Mark and Timothy. But I said I want to see Jesus, to the one who died for me. Then I bowed on my knees and cried, Holy, holy, holy. I clapped my hands and sang glory, glory to the Son of God. I bowed on my knees and cried, Holy, holy, holy. And I clapped my hands and sang glory, glory to the Son of God. I thought when I saw my Savior, oh glory to God. I just fell right down before Him, singing praise to the name of the Lord. I bow down and worship Jehovah, my friend of Calvary. For I wanted to give praise to Jesus for saving a sinner like me. Then I bowed on my knees and cried, Holy, holy, holy. I clap my hands and sing glory, glory to the Son of God. I bowed on my knees and cried, Holy, holy, holy. I clap my hands and sing glory, glory to the Son of God. I thought when I saw my Savior, oh glory to God. I just fell right down before Him, singing praises to the name of the Lord. I bow down and worship Jehovah, my friend of Calvary. For I wanted to give praise to Jesus for saving a sinner like me. Then I bowed on my knees and cried, Holy, holy, holy. I clap my hands and sing glory, glory to the Son of God. I bowed on my knees and cried, Holy, holy, holy. I clap my hands and sing glory, glory to the Son of God. Hallelujah. 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 Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Praise the Lamb.
Wash me this I know. When Receive me as worthy and not as I am. If you use me in garments as white as the snow, for the Lamb of God is worthy, and he robs me this I know. When he sees me, he sees the blood of the Lamb. He sees me as worthy and not as I am. He views me in garments as white as the snow. For the Lamb of God is worthy, and he loves me this I know.
Glory, glory, hallelujah. Glory, glory, hallelujah. Glory, glory, hallelujah. His truth is marching on. I have seen him in the watchfire of 100 circling camps. They have built him an altar in the evening dews and dams. I have seen his righteous sentence by the dimming, glaring light. His day is marching on. Glory, glory, hallelujah. Glory, glory, hallelujah. Glory, glory, hallelujah. His truth is marching on. Glory, glory, hallelujah. Glory, glory, hallelujah. Glory, glory, hallelujah. His truth is marching on.
You know where that scripture is? I think, as I said, it's a Saul when you're small in your own eyes.
1 Samuel 15:17.
Well, talk about something nobody wants to talk about humility. And Samuel said, is it not true that when you were insignificant in your own eyes, you became head of tribes of Israel? The Lord chose you as king over Israel. The key of it was, when you're small in your own eyes, the King James said, and Samuel said, when thou wast little in thine own eyes, sight, wast thou not made a head of all tribes of Israel? And the Lord anointed thee king over Israel. There's another place that says, when you were small in your own eyes, God had favor with you. But when you became proud, then and God had no desire in you. That's what you want to talk about today. Samuel sprach, ich nicht also, da du klein warst in deinen Augen, wurdest du das Haupt unter den Sternen Israels, und der Herr zahlte dich zum König über Israel. Trying to get this thought out, you know, this about humility, you know. And German, he sang that song, Damn it is the chance to do. Humility, that's the best thing you can do before God. Wer da nichts will sein und wissen, der ist den, was er gibt. He that is small in his own eye. God hates the proud, you know. Mm-hmm. It's just, you get, even you and I, we get turned on when we see proud people, you know. They always want to talk about themselves. It's not about us. It's about the Lord Jesus Christ. We never try to feel the impression it's about us. We're just doing a job. It's not to do with us. God just gave us a mandate and a responsibility to hold on to this truth that has been given to to the church age leaders. Yeah, it's a tough road to hoe. Well, when you analyze it, you know, we're going against the stream, but it's got nothing to do with us. But like I say, we're just doing the job, and we're trying our level best to just be faithful to what God has called us to do. We know we have a tough road to hoe, and it's an uphill battle. We're swimming against the stream, and God, when you analyze everything, you got to analyze. You got to sit back and analyze what's out there. The things that we've been saying there are 100% the truth. We're going against that whole religious mechanism, that whole religious apparatus that Satan has now infiltrated everything that's out there that even resembles anything. He's taken over the church world. He's taken over. It's all evolved into an apparatus of Satan's ammunition, Satan's weaponry, if you would, for mass deception. It's all geared towards that. And no matter where you go, no matter how good that preacher is, and how good that community is, and everything, all these cults, all these Hutterites, these Amish, these Society of Brethren, these Pentecostals, everything has been infiltrated. And we're just trying to be faithful to what God has called you and I to do, that here in the church age of Laodicea, we said it over and over again, that the church age, the grace age, is divided into seven church ages. And we happen to be here now in the end time, and the last one, and the church age of Laodicea. And like it says, like Jesus said before he left the scene, this is going to be eternal life. We've said it over and over again, but you realize we're fighting against that whole apparatus, satanic, Satan's apparatus out there, his infrastructure. He's evolved it. He's hijacked everything, and then he uses it to deceive the masses. That's what Jesus said. And in the last days, the deception will be of such magnitude, it'll be so great that it'll deceive even the very elect, if it would be possible. And we keep repeating these things because, you know, I was thinking the last few days, you know, we're going against the stream. And the only way we can really fight this thing is humility. We got to completely be sold out to the Lord Jesus Christ. Otherwise, the devil will get us with some kind of pride or thinking we're really something special, like it's us that's doing it. No, we're just following the stream. We're just guided by his eyes. We've said enough here. That people ought to know if they're listening to us, that it's not about us. It's about the Lord Jesus Christ. We just have to have a mandate. That the Lord's been given a tremendous responsibility here in these closing days of time. We're the only two people that knows what's going on. Nobody go out there and listen to these churches. Not one of them will tell you anything about God sending a prophet. The Brenhamites, they will, but they got everything twisted up. They didn't move on to Brother Jackson. And see, mm-hmm. The truth is marching on. And all we're doing, we're just marching on with the truth. There's not decent about us or nothing like that. When he sees us, he sees the blood of the Lamb. He sees it because there came a day when the Lord came by our way and we became born again. And we're just continuing with the program, trying our level best to maintain a sense of humility and give God the glory for everything, and that's all we're doing. Because now God has seen you and I fit, that he gave us the mandate to hold on to the things that have been firmly established to the church age of Laodicea, and God then says in Malachi 4, behold, I'll send you Elijah the prophet. If you don't have that with you, you haven't even begun, you haven't even started grade one. This is the key for Laodicea, that God sent a prophet. Mm-hmm. And if you don't get that, you might as well just go out and sit on a log somewhere, because nothing you're doing or saying will amount to anything, because Satan will take a hold of you. Exactly what Jesus said, this is eternal life, that they believe on them whom I will send. And you and I know he sent these seven angels. You can see it in the first chapter and back in the book of Revelation, and then where he held these seven stars in his right hand. And then he went on to explain what these seven stars are. They're the seven angels to the church ages. And we happened to be in the church age of Laodicea. And that angel came down, and he took the vocal cords of William Branham, and then he preached for 40 years. And then when he passed on. He took the whole course of Reeman M. Jackson, and when he passed on, he gave you and I the mandate and the responsibility to continue on with the program, to hold on to the things that have been firmly established for the people that live in the church here to live to see. And we can't do nothing other than tell people. That's all we have to do. And then, by God's grace, he gave us the revelation of that midnight cry. If you don't believe us, you can just tap into with your phone, with your iPhone, and all you gotta do is tap in 1963 Mystery Cloud, and it'll tell you the whole story, why that cloud was up in the Tucson, Arizona, up in the sky there, and it's still in the magazine, Life magazine, what all transpired back in 1963, and we're connecting the dots that in 1963 was the middle of the church age of Laodicea, exactly what the scripture says at midnight, and at midnight there was a cry. That's at midnight of Laodicea, which happened on February 28, 1963. That was the middle of Laodicea, and we know the beginning of Laodicea was 1906. All you gotta do is read three, and it'll tell you exactly where you are in time. And then once Laodicea ends, it ends in October 15, 2021, Laodicea is over. We're just finishing off. This is just the finishing touches that you and I are doing just to keep it alive, because it'll go until that rapture happens. Then Laodicea is no more. It's just the truth is marching on, and you and I, we happen to tap in into the truth for our day, and God give us the grace to open up our understanding where we are in time when he gave us the revelation of that midnight cry. It's just as simple as ABC, but you got to be connected. You got to be able to connect the dots, and you can't take any credit for nothing, because it's all through that ministry of that Brother Branham and that Brother Jackson, and all we're doing, we're given the mandate to hold on to the things that you have been taught. Who is then that faithful and wise servant who is going to deliver that meat in due season? The Lord, it's the Lord that found us, you and I, faithful to do this job. He's given us this mandate. He's the one that woke me up one morning and told me to start his website. It's got nothing to do with it. We're just doing a job. That's what we've always done. When you got a job trucking, we try to do the best job we know how. And we're done trucking, no matter what we've done, we're always trying to do whatever we were given orders to do. And that's what we're doing now. We're just doing exactly what the Lord told us to do. That's what we're just continuing on. But you can't take credit for nothing. You just got to walk, be able to find a place where you can walk humbly before the Lord. And just that simple. Heavenly Father, we want to come into your presence, Lord, to give you thanks for another day of life and the many things you do for us, Lord. Lord, the fact that you give us this mandate and the responsibility to, even in closing days of time, to put out a truth there, going against the stream and all the opposition, Lord. But we just ask, Lord, that we'd be able to be faithful and true to what you've given us to do, Lord. Open the hearts of the people, Lord, because if you don't open our understanding, and if they don't believe what we're saying, Lord, here, all we're doing, Lord, we're just beating our gums together and just become another wannabe, Lord. We just pray you'll give that increase. In Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
Well, that's what I see the last 2 days is just give God the glory. There's nothing in us that has any value. You could go back to our biblical history and you can find where these people ended up, where they all of a sudden became proud and you couldn't touch them. And even you don't have to go into biblical history. You just got to go into the people that we know that fell by the wayside simply because all of a sudden they thought they could use the scripture to build an empire, you know, to make an name for themselves. I remember got to know that big Joe from Montana, that preacher Joe, that Joe Hoare. He used to go drive around the colonies and he had a tremendous ministry going there at one time, and he had a tremendous healing ministry. People got healed. I remember that Joe Wallen, he let me know, he had a friend of his that was in the hospital at open heart surgery. So he asked that Joe Wallen, he called him up, had to come up and pray for this friend of his in the hospital. So he went up with him and he prayed for that that person in the hospital, that friend of that Joe Walters, and he had open heart surgery. He had, and then that next day they operated on him, and usually it takes a week to recover. Well, the next day he just took all his stuff off and walked right out of the hospital, completely healed. He had a tremendous ministry. I remember somebody telling me he used to have these camp meetings up in Lethbridge on Thursday when the Hutterites would all come to town, and there's a little park there right beside a big shopping mall, and he's out there preaching, giving a salvation message, and somehow the Lord took what he was saying and he put it into the PA system, into that and into that shopping mall, and there over the PA system, the whole thing went right in the PA system, and everybody in that store just stopped at full attention about 15 minutes until they were done with the salvation message. The Lord did mighty miracles through that guy. You know, people got healed, but see, all of a sudden it was all about himself, you know, and I remember he invited me to come up to speak at one of his camp meetings there, and when he's out there over in Lethbridge, and I got there, so I drove up there, and he asked me if I wanted to say something, and I said, well, actually, the Lord told me not to say nothing, just told me not to do nothing, and then from there, we went up from Lethbridge, went up to High Bluff, and then he asked me again, we're going to have another meeting today, do you want to step up to the plate and say something? And I said, well, I prayed about it this morning. The Lord told me not to say nothing. In fact, he told you that you should stop these meetings because it's becoming all about yourself. And he finally admitted, yeah, he told me to shut it down too. Because all of a sudden, he's had so many good results. People would come out and listen. But now, all of a sudden, it was about himself. You know, and his whole ministry went down the tube. He died here a few months ago, but see what happens. If you think you're something special, you destroy yourself with the very gift that God gave you. And the Lord has to remind even me from time to time. It's not about myself. It's about the Lord Jesus Christ. We're just doing a job, and when we have done everything that we possibly know to do, we just classify ourselves as just unfaithful, as just unworthy servant, only doing that which we were supposed to do in the first place. That's why the Lord put us here, is to serve Him and to worship Him. It's nothing about ourselves. There's nothing in the human being that has any value of any kind. It's just that simple.
Yeah,
that's what we're trying to tell you here.
Mm-hmm. And some people, they carry such an air about them. They really think there's something special, and you can see it from a mile off. The air around them is just a proud air.
And a wrong or something.
It says in James 4:6, that is why it says, God opposes the proud but gives grace to the humble. And that's where a person, if you want to find grace in the eyes of God, humility, you will find that place. It might not be a standing amongst the society, but God will bless a person. Just like there's a story in the Old Testament about King Uzziah. Now, King Uzziah was a good king, and he did great, mighty things. He became king when he was 16 years old. But it says, like in 2 Chronicles 26, it says he followed God during the lifetime of Zechariah, who taught him how to honor God. As long as he followed the Lord, God caused him to succeed. See, that's what happens when a person walks humbly before God, then God helps that person. And he did many things. When you will read over the chapter, he attacked the Philistines and broke down their walls. And God helped him campaign against even the Arabs and everything. And the Ammonites, they paid tribute to King Uzziah. And his fame reached even to the borders of Egypt. He grew so powerful. He built fortified towers in Jerusalem. and he built towers in the desert and wells, and he owned many herds, and he was very well known, and he loved agriculture. He could really work something with agriculture and with vineyards, and he was a very skilled man because God was with him. And he had an army, and this army was so skilled, they were very well trained. And it goes on and to tell you about how God blessed him because he was walking humbly before him. And they designed war machines that would help them in war. They were specially designed. It says, when you read further down, it says in verse 16, but once he became powerful, his pride destroyed him. He disobeyed the Lord his God. He entered the Lord's temple to offer incense on the incense altar. And that was not allowed for the king to do. That was for the priest's job, for the Levites, the descendants of Levi, to do that incense. And here he became so high and mighty in himself that he took it upon himself to go into the temple and order and offer up these incense. And then the priests, they followed him and they said, you're not allowed to do that. Oh, he became angry. See, that's what pride does. When somebody corrects you, you become angry. Mm-hmm. And he became angry because he was so full of himself already. He was not humble anymore like he was in his beginning. And then what happened was, because of that he was just a ranting and a raving. And as he was ranting and raving while the priests were confronting him, there appeared a disease upon his skin, on his forehead. And he, all his life, he had to deal with that skin disease then. See, that's what pride does. People don't realize the damage pride can have on a person's walk with God. Like you said, King Saul, he was humble. He was nothing in his own eyes. Because when he was first called, he said, I'm the least of the tribe and the least in my family, and here I'm supposed to be king. See, that's the humility that God loves. But after a while, he became proud. And when God asked him to, Samuel asked him certain things of him, like he had, wait for me to offer up the offering of sacrifice. So he couldn't wait anymore, so he did it himself. And Samuel got mad at him and said, if you would have waited, you would have established your kingdom. And the next one was when he went into battle, and God said to destroy all the Amalekites, wipe them out. I believe it was the Amalekites. And then he left the king and certain of the livestock. And that was not pleasing to God because he could not even follow instructions and orders from God. He became proud. And then God had to reject him, and he raised up David to be king in his stead. And he established King David because he was humble before him. Even when he sinned against God, he repented in such a manner that God was pleased with his repenting. Like Saul, he didn't even repent properly. He said, oh, I've sinned, but come and honor me. Mm-hmm. See, that didn't require like a real repentance, whereas David, he really went down to the dust of the earth, and he sat there until he knew that God had forgiven him because of what he had done with Bathsheba. And this thing, God was not pleased how he handled that episode. And then God took one of his children because of that ordeal that he had. And see, you can walk through the Bible and you can see when God blesses somebody, there is usually humility behind that, the king that was humble before God, and God blessed him. And whereas people that were proud, that they had nothing but problems.
That's what happened to that Joe Hofer, that preacher guy.
Mm-hmm.
The Lord just, and I told my brother Brenham, and he never could accept that God sent a prophet, and nothing that I said, he would listen to it. And because it was his pride. He couldn't mm-hmm. accept the fact that God sent the prophet. And what happened is the Lord took everything away from him, and all he became was the wasteland. That's all his ministry ended up being, just a wasteland. And because it was all of a sudden, it was all about himself. Yeah. And I told him, I literally saw it happening, how the Lord just pulled the plug on it. And I told him, I said, Joe, you're more precious to the Lord than your ministry. Mm-hmm. The Lord will take away your ministry because what you do, you're allowing that ministry to destroy yourself. That's mm-hmm. all it is. But he never did listen to anybody, and he kept on going around trying to preach. And in fact, we were up there to visit him a few years back, and it was all about himself. You know, you could tell when the people, mm-hmm. all he wants to talk about himself or what he's accomplished. Never giving God the glory or the credit for nothing. And see what he did. He carried on with going around ministering, even though the Lord had already pulled the plug on him. And that's what pride does.
That's right.
I told him straight to his face, the Lord has taken your ministry away because he can't. You're going to destroy yourself with it. Because it was all about himself. And we could bring in even that preacher Dave, I try to tell him, God sent the prophet. I don't know why they, what's so hard to accept that God sent the prophet, that he was the voice of that angel. I couldn't even get in the door with it. He just fought it vehemently right to the bitter end. And all we're doing, we're just continuing on with the program because God saw you and I our makeup, and he know that we're going to be faithful to what he's called us to be. And all we're doing, we're letting people know that here in the church, here the latest year, God sent a prophet, and then he sent that Malachi 4 prophet, when Jehovah sent Elijah the prophet, and he used that prophet, he used the vocal cords of William Branham, that angel did, and he continued on with the program. He continued preached for 40 years. People got healed, raised from the dead. The world, his books are full of miracles that he did. But he stayed humble right to the end, and when he was done, he gave the Lord gave the reins to Raymond M. Jackson, and he preached for 40 years. And all we're doing, we're just holding on to the fort. We're just letting here in these closing days of time, letting people know what has transpired for the church age of Laodicea from 1906, and then all these things. We're down at the higher river. A voice came out of heaven as John the Baptist was sent to forerun my first coming, so will your message be sent forth to forerun my second coming. That's where we are in time. And then, like I said, God, rich in mercy, gave you and I the mandate and the revelation of that midnight cry, and we could tell you exactly right to the day where we're living in time. We're just a few short years, two years and a little bit to the where that angel comes down and ties up Satan. And then there's a there's 30 days for the day of the Lord. It's just right here in our generation. These preachers out there, they'll never tell you that. That's why the world is such full of such mad deception. They're out there preaching. The Billy Graham's of this world, the John Hagee's of this world, they all know about God sending a prophet, but they'll never tell the people because there's no glory and no recognition for them. And then they just even like Eddie Biscoe, He assumed, he left people with the impression that he's the successor to William Branham. And he was nothing but an antichrist. He was just sent in by this antichrist to make sure people never find out the ministry of Brother Jackson. That's what they went. He went through life telling people, insinuating that Brother Jackson was just a black person. See, you and I, we have the whole counsel of God. We know exactly what has been transpiring over the years, and that's why God gave you and I the mandate to let people know. That's all we're putting it out there and tell people the truth, what has been transpiring and what's going on out these with Brenhamite, and now it's with these Jacksonites. They're even going to be even worse than the Brenhamite because God gave me that dream about that minefield. They're going to do everything they can to make sure that the ministry of Raymond M. Jackson is turned into a minefield and destroy everything that he preached for 40 years. Mm-hmm. That's exactly what's going on. Mm-hmm. They put out these charts, and these charts, all it is contrary to what Brother Jackson taught. They put out a message where the third day, they go far as to take over the contendrant, but we're in the third day. And that a fool knows that we're not in the third day, because the third day is the millennium. First there's the 2 days of Hosea 6:2. After 2 days he'll revive us. See, that week, that week of Daniel is for, to revive the Jewish people. That's where the Lord is working now. He's working over in Israel with the Jewish people to bring everything back, back to where its original state, to bring everything, to give that land back, and give to make their, build their temple. That's what's going on over there with these wars and rumors of wars. And see, you and I, our stuff is spot on. We're right, walking with the Lord. The truth is marching on as a law. As you and I stay humble and give God the glory and the credit for everything, God's just going to continue to bless us and to lead us into more revelation. He's going to let us know, like I said, He's given us the mandate, and He let us know exactly right to the day where we are in time. You could just take October the 15th, 2021, and you could do the rest from there. It's exactly 7 years till the coming of till the day of the Lord, till when that angel comes down and ties up Satan, and Satan is no more for 1,000 years. You see, you and I, we got the full counsel of God. We got the program 100% accurate, and you can take it to the bank, and you could hang your head on it, because it's the truth. Because God gave us His mandate. He told us what to do and what not to do, and then it's all about Him. It's not about us. It never will be about us. Because the minute we think about us, it's us that the law God has to do. He pulled the plug on us. Just that simple. And He did it to all these people back in biblical history and even in our generation. Why did He give that Dave Walder the revelation of that God sent the prophet? Why couldn't I tell it to that Joe Hoover about God sending a prophet? It's possible, because there was pride there. They were used it for their own glory, to build themselves and all their own empire, just like any biscuit. I let it be known, the guy's using the message to build himself an empire. And the kids were given orders to escort me out whenever I come up to the church. And I've been all through that. That's why the Lord gave you and I the mandate to continue on with the program. If people like it, fine. If they believe us, fine. Then they'll end up at the marriage supper of the Lamb. That's all that's left. The grace age is over. Water baptism in the name of Jesus Christ is over. All that's left now is the invitation to the marriage supper of the Lamb. And you and I, we're the only two people that'll tell people that. And we get a very crystal clear mandate from the Lord. And all we're doing, we're telling people what's going on for the day and hour we're living in, because the truth keeps marching on. It's just that simple.
Heavenly Father, we just want to come before You, and we just give You thanks for another day of life, Lord. We just pray, Lord, that You'll keep us humble, Lord, like it says that You resist the proud, but You give grace to the humble, Lord. We just pray, Lord, that we can continue to walk before You with all humility, Lord, because we know what a proud heart and a proud life does, Lord. It leads to destruction, Lord. So we pray, Lord, for the grace to stay humble, Lord. I pray also that You let these words speak to the hearts of people, Lord, how You look upon a proud person and how You look upon a humble person, Lord. We give You thanks. In Jesus' name we pray.
Amen.